this is Tony Lloyd. Being a broadcaster for many years, I've witnessed some great stories in the music industry, and now I want to bring as many music stories to you as I can in this series of podcasts. My goal is that they will inspire others making their way in the music world.
Music Stories with Tony Lloyd.
Ross from Blue Rose Codes, welcome. How are you?
Tony, a very good afternoon. Thanks for taking the time and having me on.
Oh, it's a pleasure. And I'm looking forward to hearing all about your musical career and everything. You've got a new single out called 13 Years, which has only just been released in the UK. It says here that it's a protest song about child poverty. So we'll talk about child poverty in a minute. That's obviously one of the motivating factors behind the song. You're on tour as well. We'll go through those dates and what have you. But first, how did you get into the music business? First of all, I detect your Scottish accent. How did you get started?
Yeah, so I was born in Edinburgh, and I always wanted to be a musician. When I realised that I wasn't hardworking enough to become a lawyer, I guess that music always represented a way for me to talk about what was going on for me, who I am, and it was a great kind of means of expression. I loved singing as well, and that was always a good way to endear myself to girls growing up. And then I guess that I found that music more and more was a serious way for me to make a living too. I ran away to London in my late teens to make it. And I spent 15 years living in London, actually. Had all sorts of bumps and scrapes and adventures. And I had a job. Well, I had a number of jobs until I didn't have to have a job anymore. And I'm blessed to do music full time now. I have done for a good few years, and we've got a good kind of dedicated support base that come out to see us whenever we tour, and support our releases. And yeah, it's I think that I chatted to someone about this last week, and music is a wonderful thing when it's your living. Having music as a profit motive can change your relationship with songwriting, and it's something that I've had to be careful of, because if you love your music and it's something that you want to do and you're sincere about, then it can't be about making a living. It has to be about what you want to say.
Well, it's quite unusual to for people to make a living out of their music, isn't it? I mean, there are thousands and thousands of musicians around the world who never make it big time, but they're passionate about what they do, they enjoy what they do, and they're not really... It would be nice for them to earn a living like you do, but that's not their motivating factor, is it?
No, I think that's true. I think that... And actually, just what you described there is probably the best description of who I am. I never made it. I'm not rich or famous, but it's something that I get to do for a living. For that, I'm grateful and I'm blessed. But yeah, there are lots of hobbyists out there that would like to make it their living. And I guess, since the advent of streaming, streaming's here to stay. There's no getting the genie back in the bottle. It's become more difficult because... far fewer people have got CD players now too. And although vinyl is seeing a resurgence, the way that musicians like me made a living was through CD sales. But we're just having to look at different ways.
Would you say that the way you make your living now is touring? It's selling tickets.
Yeah, that's definitely been it. And then of course we had the pandemic, which took that away too. So it's been an extraordinary test of resilience, in fact. And I guess those who are still here really want to be here.
Yes.
And I think that the industry here too, over in the UK, you know, we're lucky enough to do a whole load of festivals last year. We were in Denmark and Germany. But the market is still not back. I think that confidence, there was an issue of confidence, you know, people perhaps not feeling secure enough to come back to gigs last year. Mm-hmm. And now there's a case, there's a cost of living crisis over here. So people perhaps don't have the disposable income to come to shows as much as they would like.
Do you think that the COVID pandemic finished people off, you know, so that may be one reason why they haven't come back? You know, they've thought they're not going to risk it again in the music business. They're just going to, you know.
I know people who people just had to do what they could to survive. You know, I have a couple of kids as well. You know, I'm responsible for not just me. And it was, I guess it was a test of our mettle. A lot of people haven't returned. A lot of people, musicians and artists, had to get jobs and haven't come back. You're right. You know, that the world doesn't owe us a living either, actually. No. You know, there was a whole load around the pandemic. There was a whole load of my contemporaries that perhaps had to check their privilege and had to look at their a sense of entitlement that perhaps we had. You know, this is something that we're lucky to do, and we have to work hard to do it. But certainly if the bills aren't being paid, then we have to look at other means of making it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Tell me about the name Blue Rose Code. Where did that come from?
So it's a reference to a scene in Twin Peaks, the David Lynch series and movie. I grew up loving David Lynch's work. And there's a scene in the movie where these two FBI agents go to an airport hangar and they're presented with a woman who's bedecked with symbols, and the FBI agents, rather than being given their mission instructions, are told to determine from the appearance of the woman what their mission is. And there are all sorts of things on her, but one of them, the most important thing, is a blue rose, which means something esoteric and clandestine.
Okay, I'll have to dig that one out now. You've whet my appetite.
You must. If you haven't seen it, you must see it.
I haven't. I don't think so, anyway. Okay. Yeah. So would you describe your music? I've listened to the new single, 13 yeah. Years. It sounds a little bit Deacon Blue-ish.
That's interesting. Yeah, I wouldn't have necessarily drawn that comparison.
Sorry.
you needn't apologise. I'm actually a big fan. We toured with Deacon Blue just before the pandemic, and I'm a really big fan of Ricky Lorraine and a good pal of Ricky's, and I would say that is not a good example of how our sound is. It's much rockier than what we usually are. Some people have compared us to Van Morrison and John Martin, and I always say that if you're really into folk music, you wouldn't call it folk music, but if you don't really know much about folk music, you'd probably call it folk music. Okay. And I love soul music too. I probably call it Caledonian soul.
Okay. Tell me about the song itself. What's the inspiration behind 13 Years?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in a political family, and I've always been really interested in what's going on in the world and in my country. And I felt myself fairly disillusioned and disenfranchised after Brexit, then coming through the pandemic and appreciating that people were taking their lives in their hands, not just to run our hospitals, but also to sit on checkouts and sell us our food. You know, there were people who, frontline workers, who took their lives in their hands and their families' lives, took risks for their families' lives to serve us while we got to stay at home. And then we come out of the pandemic, and although we did lots of clapping on the doorstep, there was very little in the way of support for these people who really can't afford to, they can't afford to feed their families. You know, the UK is the fifth largest economy in the world, and one in four kids go to sleep hungry. We toured with the Proclaimers just before the end of the year there, and I was really taken at how engaged and activated their fan base was. Yeah. And I was driving home from one of the shows, and I was listening to Radio 4, and there was a podcast. There was a guest on the show from a charity called Magic Breakfast, and it's their raison d'etre to feed kids at school. Because kids are going to school, they're going to bed hungry, they're waking up hungry, and they are coming to school hungry, and it means that they can't concentrate, and it means that their behaviour is off key, and it means that it's not just changing their lives today, but it's changing their life outcomes in the future. Mm-hmm. And I just think, you know, as a father myself, I'm really saddened by the choices that we make as a nation and how we can walk past people, you know, how we make these choices, because we can afford to feed all of us. You know, I'm not, I wouldn't describe myself even as a socialist. You know, I would say that I'm a pragmatist, but I think it's a disgrace the way that we can allow poverty to be so rife in our society today.
How do you think people listening to this could help with that situation, you know, and how would they recognise a child that was, you know, in trouble in that way?
I think the best thing to do is to get involved with a local charity and look at best ways to donate, whether that's time or money. I think that also it's about not believing that they are all the same. And what I mean by that is it's about getting out and being involved in politics at a grassroots level nowadays. I'm not even making a partisan political point. It's about organizing. It's about being more civic and community minded. It's about in my opinion, it's about re-engaging with quite traditional values of community and society, because, you know, we're living increasingly in an individualist society, and I think that spells doom for most people.
Have you thought about going into politics?
I have far too many skeletons in the closet, I'm afraid, Tony.
Well, haven't they all?
yeah, well, quite perhaps, yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, so this single, 13 Years, is helping to raise money for the children's charity, Children First, is that right?
That's right.
And presumably Children First is one of the charities that we were talking about that help to feed children that are in need of it.
Precisely, yeah. They look after low-income families, a lot of whom have parents that are working, you know, but still need to go to food banks, still need to, because there's this great misconception in the UK that there are a load of dole scroungers out there. But cost of living, particularly now with inflation so high, you know, low incomes are going nowhere near as far as they need to, and people need assistance. Children First are one of these people that do just that. It's not just about giving people money, it's also about connecting them to the right support frameworks within the community too.
Okay, well, we'll put their website on the text that goes with this episode, and hopefully that'll do some good as well. Tell me about your tour, because I've got a list of towns here that are coming up for you: Sheffield, Crowborough, Portsmouth, Greenock, Edinburgh, Perth, Motherwell, Aberdeen and Inverness, mostly in Scotland, apart from Crowborough in Sussex, or is it East Sussex or West Sussex?
You're going to have to tell me, I'm afraid.
It's one of the Sussexes. I should know.
Yeah, that's it. Well, yeah, and we've just added a London date too, and there's more coming. We're playing Cambridge Folk Festival this year, main stage on Friday, which will be great. And it's just about getting back out there. I never feel more... more in the moment than when I'm performing. You know, I just love that connection between an audience and a performer. And I think that it's in a secular world, it is a communion, which makes my heart sing.
Okay. Ross, thank you so much for talking to me. Wish you all the best. Fascinating about the charity work that you're involved with as well, which is a really good cause, obviously. And the facts that you gave me about one in four children go to school hungry, that's awful. So let's hope we can do something about that. Awareness is a good thing as well, isn't it? So
yeah,
maybe people listening to this will be the right person to do something about it, for heaven's sake. So Ross from Blue Rose Code, thank you very much for talking to me on Music Stories. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Dan.
Tony Lloyd, creating audio and film worldwide.